Today I want to talk about how to prevent drowning. I think drowning is an unnecessary condition. There are various forms of drowning in the news nowadays. If we were talking about tsunamis, you would immediately draw a point of view that says that drowning is related to water. If we ask the question, however, after looking at a news broadcast related to the economy, and ask this question, is anyone drowning in an ocean of red ink? And the answer would be yes. In fact, it would be emphatically yes. Red ink is a common way to describe financial losses when income is less than the expenses. And this condition of drowning is happening all over the world. It's happening in countries, including the United States, and it happens in business, and it's happening in households. If I asked another question about drowning, that is, drowning in a sea of despair, most people would know what I was asking about. They would know from either first-hand experience or second-hand knowledge, drowning in the sea of despair. Here's a question. How is it possible for an adult to drown in 3 feet of water? And the answer is, in the same way that somebody in 8 or 10 feet of water drowns. They don't recognize or use the natural support that is always available to us. The person in 3 feet of water, in their panic, did not know that they could put their feet on the bottom of the lake, that is, the ground or the earth, and stand up. Because fear reduces our ability to consider possibilities of what might be, this person only thought about drowning and didn't think about being supported. They were in terror in the face of that problem, so they couldn't mentally seek a solution, even though it was right there below their feet, almost impossible to miss. If we fell into 8 or 10 feet of water, how could we prevent drowning? And the answer is by floating. Floating is the act of staying at or above the surface of this body of water. The human body has a natural buoyancy, so floating comes naturally to us. The fact is, we're already 75% to 85% water, and most of the rest of us can float too. By the way, if you're trying to rescue a person who has fallen into deep water by jumping in to save him, you need to recognize that the water is not the greatest danger you will face. Their panic and flailing are the greatest danger, both to the rescuer and to the person who needs to be rescued. As can be noted from unfortunate human experience, the depth of the water isn't really what kills the drowning person. What kills the drowning person is their not believing in being supported, their not believing in natural buoyancy, their not trusting. The fear, the panic, and the terror that they're experiencing prevent this person from becoming conscious or aware of support, buoyancy, or even to access a sense of trust in being cared for. Some people would ask the question, what about when a person falls overboard in heavy clothing or holding on to heavy things? And the answer I would give is, what we're going to want to notice is what makes us less buoyant. What things make us heavier, less light, or reduce our enthusiasm? So when we notice what those things are that are dragging us down, we can change our connection to them. There are items in our lives, I will call them energy patterns, since most everything is an energy pattern, and these items, they serve us, and we would have taken ownership of them. When these things no longer serve us, or we've gotten all the value out of them that we can, it's time for us to let them go, so they can move on, and we can move on. Some people are drowning in a sea of clutter. This is, to me, an indication of at least two things, perhaps many more, but two that I want to speak about. Number one, people can mistakenly think that material things support them to rise above their current emotional level of, say, sadness. It is true that in the case of water, we can use something that also has a greater buoyancy to help us stay afloat. Holding on to a floating log or a styrofoam chest can assist us in staying afloat. However, if the tree we were using for support becomes waterlogged, we would do well to let it go, so we won't be dragged down by it as it sinks. When it served us, we connected to it. When it stopped serving us, we should let it go. And the process of extracting value from energy patterns is one important aspect of life. Letting go of what no longer serves us is another important aspect of life. Now, we do this normally under all kinds of circumstances, but specifically, we do this with food we eat and beverages we drink. Our bodies extract whatever value they can from the food and the beverages, and then the body lets go of what no longer serves us. You can realize that healthy bodies are effective at this, and unhealthy bodies are not. The other thing going on with clutter is the lack of skill in that person with regard to relative importances. If we can't distinguish the meaningful from the meaningless, the valuable from the valueless, we will tend to hold on to all of it out of a fear of loss. And if you've had this thought, I certainly have, I might need this sometime in the future, you know, next year, next decade, you know, within 100 years. That fear of loss is based upon an idea that we will not be able to access that energy again, which is inaccurate. It's erroneous thinking. It's a belief in scarcity. We can attract that back into our lives. And so that belief that by holding on to things we can be supported, cared for, safe, belong, and loved could be a distortion of the truth. What we are doing is imbuing physical objects with this sort of power and literally distorting our own reality. We fail to notice that we're the ones, in fact, that are giving the power to these objects. The object doesn't have this power in and of itself. It's an object. But we add value to it, we add meaning to it, we add interpretations to it. We give it more power than it has. What about being in a sea of despair or a sea of debt? Both of those are fairly common currently. How can we avoid drowning? And the answer to this is just like in the water. We can avoid drowning by staying afloat, because despair and debt and many other things are concepts more than they are physical objects. We can buoy ourselves by using other more positive concepts to hang on to. Instead of looking for a log that's floating in the water, we look for a concept that is of higher vibration, higher value, that we can tune to, that we can harmonize to. Just as a person in 3 feet of water needs to become aware of the possibility of being supported, so does the person in despair or debt. Debt itself could be considered to be a form of support, but with a heavy weight attached to the back end. Debt supports the purchase of things that might be impossible to buy otherwise, such as a house or a car. If we didn't have debt, we would have to pay cash for a house or a car. And because so few people would be able to do that, there would be many fewer cars or houses manufactured, sold, many fewer jobs involved in the production of those houses and cars, much less money in circulation due to the absence of those cars and houses. We could say that debt supports lifestyles when incomes will not. I'd say debt is the difference between income and lifestyle, or the difference between income and spending. Income might be described, and this is really a great opportunity for us to shift our beliefs about this and to recognize the level to which we're supported, is income could be described as the arbitrary value assigned to the worth of our own energy when we engage in an exchange. I think that's a powerful sentence, even though it might be a little complicated. Income could be described as the arbitrary value assigned to the worth of our own energy when we engage in an exchange. debt doesn't actually have the power to weigh us down. Debt is the level of water we are in. $3 in debt, or $3,000 in debt, or $300,000 in debt is debt. If we can spend so much more than we value our own energy, we should know at least a couple of things. One of which is, spending is a false method of trying to make ourselves feel loved, important, supported, cared for, or connected to others. It does not work. In fact, it just exacerbates our erroneous beliefs about our own value. The second is becoming lighter, and I spell lighter with a capital L as well as a lowercase l, is the key to staying afloat and rising above and out of debt and despair. There's no doubt that some people can use fear to make them swim faster. A person who says he is swimming as fast as he can will really swim much faster as soon as he discovers there's a shark right behind him in the water. The trouble with that process, though, is that the fear is communicated to the threat, and we attract what we don't want. We attract what we fear. So fear as a motivator may appear to help us in the very, very short term, but long term, it is a killer. We can use energy to help ourselves. We can harmonize to a vibration of personal worth that calms our minds and our emotions, and then that is communicated to our bodies. We can make an effort to notice the plentitude of existing evidence that we already and actually are being supported. Our interpretation of environments and environmental signals is what determines the creative value of those environments and environmental signals and our own vibrational relationships to them. We, through our interpretations and conclusions about things, can make water life-enhancing or life-threatening. We can make debt a blessing of support or a life-destroying weight on our shoulders. For those laboring under debt, consider this possibility, that the debt may have been keeping you afloat until you could come to the awareness that some other concept, some other force, some other power is really what you wanted to come to understand. At the core of our being, this is what we want to know. We are being cared for. We are being supported. We are being loved. We belong. We make our life choices vibrationally, not with words. And all things are available to us if we ask for and allow them into our experiences with higher vibrations. Our power to interpret and conclude that these statements that I just made are truths, and when we knowingly pull them into ourselves and make them a standard part of our belief system, our energy field, we're in a different place. We will know the truth about us and our connection to our Creator. I say that the ocean that we are in is the ocean of God, which also can be described as an ocean of good. The creative force that I call God, and it has a lot of different names depending on a person's inclinations, is what supports us all through the flow of healing spirit, according to what we're willing to ask for and what we are willing to allow. I have this image that the healing spirit is a positive current in the ocean of good. It will take us where we vibrate that we want to go. That's a powerful statement, too. It will take us where we vibrate that we want to go. Our responsibilities include deciding what we want, knowing we are being supported, and staying in the vibration that will flow us there. I would like to end this service with a prayer. Father God, Mother God, Christ, the Creator in connection to all that is, thank you for all of our blessings. Thank you for our expanding awareness of the level of support that is your love, that is ever present, ever abundant. And all we have to do is look deeply enough to be able to see it. Help us to develop that awareness that you are always supporting us. And we belong to you and the family of man. It is so. Thank you. Amen.